great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome our good friends from Rocktron and GHS Strings. With us tonight is Mr. Larry Hulsey and Chris Walters. We also have the musician and entrepreneur, Nick Perry, owner of Perry Inc., where he sells guitar accessories, custom guitars, and apparel online. The Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Guitar Hummer and Sweetwater Music and Pro Audio. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Hey,
welcome,
Scott,
Jeff.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So what have you been up to, Jeff?
Well, I'm going to play a little spot for you real quick for our new, we have new sponsors this week.
Yes, definitely want to
Guitar Hummer, and let me go ahead and play the spot, and then we'll talk a little more about it. Here we go. There's a product out called Guitar Hummer that's designed to give you vintage sound without the vintage weight. We all know the more a guitar is played, the better the sound. Guitar Hummer is a guitar stand that simulates play by sending gentle vibrations through your guitar as it sits. Swap your guitar stand for Guitar Hummer, and in just a few weeks, you will notice deeper, richer tone and improved sustain. But don't take our word for it. Try it for 60 days, and if you don't notice a marked difference, return it for a full refund. Go to guitarhummer.com for more information or to purchase.
There yes, so very cool. So that's guitarhummer.com for you guys.
Yeah, it's an interesting little device that they do, and it's nice to be able to. We were talking about this the other day, I think, with one of the people.
Well, it's come up a few times. It came up with Billy Sheen, where he was talking about how Yamaha spent millions of dollars to build something very similar for their guitars.
Yeah.
So here's, you don't have to spend millions of dollars. You can actually
just
put it
on your guitar stand, and it ages the guitar.
Definitely take a look at it, and we'll actually have them on. And actually, I'll be doing a kind of a progressive YouTube video on it, where I'm taking an Epiphone guitar, right? Not a very high-end acoustic, but not a bad little guitar. And then I'm going to put it on the stand and see what it does to it over the 2-week, month, and 3-month period.
That's so cool.
Anxious to see that. Yeah, and I just wanted to send out a big congrats to Mr. Brent Stewart, who won the string package from GHS Strings and a custom keychain from our guest tonight, Nick Perry. He actually posted a picture of himself with some GHS strings and a shirt on our online and posted that.
Cool.
And I just posted up a new video from the LA Amp Show, actually featuring you, Jeff, from GMP Guitars.
So that was fun. They make some great guitars.
Yes.
I have to, and they're very nice people anyway, but some of the paint jobs on those things were just amazing.
And then I do want to mention we have some amazing guests coming up. I do want to get that out there so people know who's coming up. So next week we have John Five, the guitarist from currently for Rob Zombie and was previously with Marilyn Manson and does his own solo stuff. We also have the week after that, it's crazy. We have Frank Bello from Anthrax and Dave Elfson from Megadeth, and then right after that we have Richie Kotzen, guitar player, lead singer from the Winery Dogs, and he'll be in studio live with his guitar, hopefully singing, playing.
Well, we got a guitar, bass, and then guitar shop, so
yeah,
gives a little
all kinds
bit of variety.
Of crazy stuff coming up. So what have you been up to, Jeff?
Anyway, I finished working on this Guitar Hummer thing. It was kind of fun to play and record that. Been busy. Just getting some more information. I'm going to be posting some more stuff up on some of the different I visited LSL guitars, so I'm going to be doing a whole article on that, but it's been taking me a while to write it up because there's a lot of pictures. But doing a bunch. I posted some stuff up on the Facebook page. I also, in honor of tonight, pulled out. I use it a lot, actually. We were talking about this earlier I have a Rocktron Pro Chorus, which is an amazing little rack mount unit, and it's very, very clean. I have to commend you guys. It's very clean, and it has like little taps on it where you can turn on multiple taps of the the delay for the chorusing effect. So you, if you hit all six of them, it's a real lush chorus. But you can play around with it and make it, you know, it can be more subtle or whatever. And I just heard that they have another one that has even more taps. So we're going to have to ask them about that.
All right. And then for anyone out there, if you want to call in and ask a question to either Jay Jess and Rocktron folks or Nick, you can call 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And if you're shy and don't want to be on the radio, but you still want to provide your witty comments, you can join us on our chat room on flowguitarenthusiast.com.
Yes. Okay. Without further ado, let's move ahead. Anyway, we are very fortunate to have the folks over at GHS Strings and Rocktron. We have there's three people, two in studio and one on Skype. First of all, we have Larry Hulsey here. Thank you, Larry, for being here. And he's the Western Regional Sales Manager for GHS Rocktron. We have on Skype Chris Walters, who's the Artist Relations and Marketing Director, or I forgot the last part of that. But anyway, he's a big guy. He's in charge of all the artists. And, of course, we have Nick Perry on.
One of their artists.
One of their artists, guitarist. He designs guitars. We'll have to get a little bit into that. He does also, I mean, it's he designs, besides custom guitars, he does all sorts of apparel and all sorts of interesting, cool stuff.
So. Yeah, cabinets, accessories. So, welcome, guys.
Thanks. How you doing?
What's up?
Welcome, Chris.
Hey.
Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Anyway, I want to start out
a little bit of a time difference.
Yeah. I just want to start out a little bit because I posted this this morning on the Flow Guitar Facebook page about Rocktron, and the first thing that I remember of Rocktron was their Hush system, noise reduction system. And what was interesting about it was what they called a single-ended noise reduction system. Most noise reduction at that time, there was only two, Dolby and DBX, which weren't really designed for live performance. They were studio effects. And basically, what those systems were, you had an encoder that encoded whatever. In Dolby's situation, it actually just boosted a lot of the highs and expanded it, and then compressed it on the back end on the decoder so that you would bring all the hiss down. And DBX was similar to that, but the same type of a thing. And back then, when that came out, I think it was in 1983 or something like that, there wasn't a lot of super digital stuff out there that was nice and clean. And, you know, we were using Echoplexes, and my Tycho Bay flanger was like an ocean of hiss. And anyway, it was hard to control that. And I've tried noise gates, and that was okay, but if you're sustaining a note or something, it just didn't work. And the Hush system was a really interesting system because you basically put all your stuff in it, and it did something at the end that took out the hiss and noise. And that's what I want to ask you is, can you give me a real quick description of what that thing did?
Well, it's really simple. It's just, you know, like we're talking about encode, decode, doesn't really work for guitar because you have these different sounds, different tones, different strikes, you know, your action's different, your attack. So with the single-ended noise reduction, the way I try to explain it is maybe if you think of two elevators, and they would normally pass each other as they're going up and down the elevator shaft, and that's what happens with a guitar tone, right? As you're holding the note, your guitar tone's dying off, and that lovely hiss comes up. So what the Hush does is not allow that hiss to get above the guitar signal. So it holds the noise down as your signal's going down. It holds that noise down as well. So you just hear the guitar tone, and then it finally rolls off. And that's one of the problems. You mentioned the noise gate. The problem with a noise gate is it's a switch. Very simple. It's open. It's closed. Well, as your threshold of your guitar signal gets next to that threshold, am I supposed to be open? Am I supposed to be closed? Pop, click, half signal. And that was the big problem with noise gates. So when the Hush came out, the first time I heard a Hush, I was walking by the Rocktron booth in 1983 or 84, and they had a Walkman or a Rockman, and they had a little Marshall amp, so there's this, and all of a sudden the guy hit a button and it stopped. And I stopped in the middle of the aisle and went, what in the heck did you just do? Well, we have this product called the Hush. I have to sell that. I've worked for them ever since then. So, It's been a long relationship. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, if you kind of think of the elevator theory where it's just not going to let that noise floor get above the guitar signal as you're rolling off the guitar signal.
Oh, okay.
Very simple. It also has a filter that contracts down to about zero, and then as soon as you hit a note, it opens up to 20K. So you have these two, low-pass filter and the downward expansion, which is basically the technological term for the hush, working together to keep that guitar sounding good and not have that type of ray hiss coming up after you're holding the note.
Yeah. Now, what happened? Was it effective when you had like a pedal? I've had several pedals that were just noise.
Well, you know,
or
you can only
more,
do so much, right? You know, you turn the threshold up so much, and then you're not going to get anything. So you have to, you know, it's kind of a best of both worlds. Okay, I'm going to live with a little bit of noise, but I can at least make it controllable by using a hush product.
Right. Now, I remember it was quite dramatic.
Absolutely.
A few of my friends had used them a lot on their live setups, and it was really pretty amazing.
Yeah, the list of people that have used a hush in, you know, various configurations and, you know, guys that said, oh, I never use a rack, and you look behind their amp, and there's a, you know, what we call Maytags in the 80s, right, where you had 16 pieces of rack gear in one rack, and it was double spaced with foam. It weighed 900 pounds. That was the Maytag, and that's, you know, there was always a hush in those, Hush 2CX back in the days.
Yeah, I remember that model.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you integrated that a lot into your pedals when you started doing effects
pedals. Yeah, pedals, all the SigPro processors, all that stuff, always had a, you know, it became a chip. You know, as time went on, it became not a circuit, but just a little hush chip. Analog devices made it for us back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So we could pop it in anything.
So when did, my question would be, when did GHS strings become part of Rocktron?
Well, it's kind of the opposite. GHS was founded in 1964. Next year is our 50th anniversary, so everybody that's going to be at the NAMM show in January, come by the booth, because we're going to have some stuff going on. It should be a little party going on. But they were around in 64, and I was working for both companies at the time, and they had made some decisions to try to make some other products which were not guitar related, didn't really work out, so they were up for sale. And I was informed of this and was told that it was going to go to another company in California, actually. And I called the owner of GHS Strings, and I said, here's the company. It's in Michigan already. It's a good deal. I think you should buy it. And lo and behold, about 2 weeks later, they bought the company, and so it's been integrated since about 2000. GHS bought Rocktron in 2000.
So, Nick, let me ask you, what GHS strings do you use, and why? Like, because one of the questions, part of that I want to ask is, are there different types of strings for different types of styles of music, if you're a blues player versus a metal player, et cetera?
Totally, and they have a full line that's just awesome, top to bottom. I've been as an artist with GHS for, I believe, 11 years.
Wow.
Impressive. Yeah, I mean, I've never even flirted with the idea of using anything else. And I can't speak about the ones I haven't played, but I can say that with 100% confidence, the Boomers are the best electric guitar strings in the world. Period.
Are they all nickel? What are they?
You know what?
They're nickel-plated steel.
Okay.
And that's, you know, stainless steel is the brightest sounding string, but we have nickel frets on our guitars. Stainless steel on nickel, not a good thing. Wipes out the frets, and we all know what the fret job costs. Ask Nick, he probably can set you up with one. but that's why you plate the strings now. And, you know, there's burnished nickel, which is a pure nickel. We have a ton of different strings, but Boomers is what, you know, has definitely brought us to the party and kept us there, so.
I play 10 gauge, 10 to 46 when I'm tuned to standard tuning, and 11 to 50 when I'm in E flat.
Really?
But they're all Boomers, and you answered it. Just the quality of the string is phenomenal, and the tone. And a lot of people ask me because I'm very vocal about it. The things that I love, I wear on my sleeve, and I've loved the product for so long. But people ask me, well, why these versus, you know, X or Y brand? And honestly, the best thing to do is just to buy a set, throw them on, and hit a chord, and then you'll know why. They sound punchy and bright and dynamic, but not in any way overboard. Just perfect, and they stay that way a long time.
Now, how would someone be able to tell, okay, it's time to change my strings? I mean, I know that when people are on tour, they change them every day, change them every show. But like, how is someone that's not on tour that's playing saying, okay, these strings are done, it's time to move on?
A good test. I mean, I usually just take my finger when I'm, you know, maybe a week after I change them, just to check, and I just run them up and down the string. And if you can feel little particles on there, or you can feel dirt or sweat that has hardened, and I know it sounds gross, but it's just part of it, it's time to change them. So I mean, it depends how many hours you play a day and how long the guitar sits. I mean, if I have a guitar that sits, if I'm out on tour and there's a guitar at home and it sits for 2 months, I'll still change the strings when I get home, even though I didn't play it for 2 months, just because time, you know, and the air and just the particles in the air, you know, over time, you know, things erode and you want something that's clean. And certainly when you play, you want something, you know, a clean string. You don't want to be skipping over a little dirt particle. So I always tell people, change strings more than you think that you should. So if you're playing all the time and you're not on the road, I'd say once a week, you know. Yeah. If you're gigging all the time, I change them every show.
When I was playing on the road, you could hear them go dead after like, you know, 3 or 4 days. I stretched it because I wanted to save money, but after the week, at the end of the weekend, I changed the strings, but I could hear a difference.
Yeah.
Well, now, what are your thoughts on thickness of the gauge? Because you hear people like Billy F. Gibbons, who doesn't have a tone problem at all, is sitting there playing sevens. But then, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan, who, again, does not have a tone problem, is playing 13s. So is there really anything to it, or is it just in your hands?
Here's how it breaks down for me, and I've spent 7 years on tour all over the world and played, you know, seven nights a week. The thing is, if you can get your hands around and you can bend with a thicker gauge string, you should try, because the thicker they are, first of all, they're just louder. There is, to my ears and most of my tone friends' ears, there is a bigger presence. There is a bigger tone.
It's a fuller sound.
It's a fuller sound, right. But they also last longer. I've never, knock wood, I've never broken a set of 11-gauge strings ever once live, ever, in 10 years, because they just don't break, because they're thicker, you know what I mean? If I was playing nines, I remember just popping them, you know, every other gig. So I would encourage people, you don't want to be playing a string that's so thick that it actually, hinders your ability to bend. Now, I know a lot of guys like to bend full step, double step, you know, bends. You want to be able to do that comfortably, but I would say play with the largest, and this is just my opinion, play with the largest gauge that allows you to play comfortably. Because if you can get up to a 10, you know, like all the guitars I build, they come stock with 10-gauge strings. Most of the pros I know play 11s. You know, if you can play 12s and 13s, God bless you, you know. But
well, and if you're saying you haven't broke a string, I mean, you know, for anyone that hasn't seen the famous photo of you jumping up like 4 feet in the air, it indicates to me that you're not a light player.
No, I'm not a light player.
So that says a lot.
But a lot of credit, too. I mean, the strings... You're right. Those are I've used GHS strings and they're great and they're heavy duty, but also too, the credit has to go to the guitar. If your nuts set right and your bridge is set right and the materials are right.
Right.
I mean I've had bad bridge parts like on some earlier Strats and stuff. Sometimes they would just tear up the string.
Yeah.
So credit to your guitar.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's important that there's no sharp piece is really anywhere in that chain from string from ball end to the tuner.
Mm-hmm. So we've got what, three pedals from Rocktron to show tonight, right?
Yes.
Yep. Nick brought three in.
So Nick, tell us about the guitar you're playing and kind of, you know, it's a little time for you to brag about your custom made guitars, and then we'll start getting into some of the demos.
Cool. So in 2009, I mean basically I'll just make it real brief. I've been obsessed with the guitar since I was 12. And I'm so obsessed, probably to my wife's chagrin, that when I'm off the road and I'm not playing every day, I'm building them because I eat, sleep, and drink guitars. I started the company officially in 2009, and I've been building. You know, our niche is custom made, 100% American made, which is harder to do than people think these days. I mean, even the screws come from America, which is, you know, tough.
That's not easy.
Almost impossible.
Almost impossible, right? And it's really just, you know, the whole idea is just, you know, in the 50s and stuff, I mean, everything from your microwave or your refrigerator to, you know, your toaster to your car, things just seemed like they were built a little more sturdy. What else can I say? So we try to use, you know, as many high quality American made parts as possible. We take a lot of pride in that. Anyway, the guitars, you know, there's a variety of different models. I think we have up to 20 models now, which you can see online, PerryandGuitars.com. It's a labor of love. I did it for the last 10 years, you know, before there was a business. I did it for myself and for my friends because I loved it. Nothing has changed except now you can get one as well. But,
right.
You know, I play this stuff. It's all I play. And this guitar that I have right here is actually a prototype for a model that will come out next month. It's called the Capistrano. And it's basically a one pickup P90.
One of my favorite, I think it's becoming my favorite pickup, to be honest.
You know what, man? It's so versatile. And I was just shooting it out with a couple other guitars in the studio, and I noticed how much more oomph it has than a single coil, but it has that that top-end character that we love about single coils, but it has the beefiness of a humbucker. It's a really beautiful thing. If you've never played a P90 guitar, folks, go get one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and for me personally, I love a P90 in the neck position. When you do that, it's sweet. I don't know. It's
So I brought three pedals here from Rocktron, and they were a lot of fun. I was playing with them this weekend. I guess the first one I'll play, maybe the wah.
Sure.
So just, you know, and again, this stuff is my opinion, but I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm a wah snob. Okay. The one that's on my board, has been for the last, you know, many years, is one that was custom made for me, and it's got all the internal parts are from the 60s Italian wahs. So I'm really snobby when it comes to wah-wahs, and my wife could tell you again because she was sitting right next to me. I plugged this thing in, and I just turned it on and hit a note, and I was just blown away because it's I'm gonna let it speak for itself. The tone is phenomenal. And this is the Black Cat
Moan. It's a three-tone wah. It has three different settings on it, like an English type wah, an American type wah, and then a low tuner bass. And then you have the added feature of being able to kick distortion into it. So as you're sweeping through the wah, you have this kind of growling distortion sound. That's why it's called the Black Cat Moan.
Right on. Well, let's hear it. This is without any overdrive added. Really big sweep. That's one of the things that really got me. It's a really wide tonal sweep.
Very nice.
Cool. So let's hear with the moan. This adds, yeah, like you were saying, some overdrive, right?
A bit of distortion, yeah. There you go.
Black Cat Moan.
That thing sounds great. Now, it's the same basic sweep. You're using a different gain switch, or do you have different filters?
That's just the distortion mode. So there's a tri-wah, which has the three separate settings, and then the Black Cat has the separate settings plus the distortion mode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can kick it in on the side here.
Yeah, and you can just kick the side of the pedal with your foot to kick in the distortion. It's not a whole pedal or anything.
It's set up really conveniently for the user. And like you said, you can do it live, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. And this one has the three different settings. I'm sorry if I totally got that wrong.
Yeah, and you can adjust it for, you know, the classic mode, the English mode, or a low tune or bass.
Would you mind giving us the three different, just do kind of the same sort of riff and show us the three different modes?
No problemo. This is the normal mode. Classic. A little more vintagey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The bass one's super cool.
sounds like a banshee too.
Yeah, it's rad.
Yeah, it does get that. It does still sound a little similar to a talk box.
A talk box mode.
Yeah, and actually, you know, and to you know, as a little thank you to our new sponsor from Sweetwater, you can pick that up from Sweetwater for $139.
There you
go. It's on their site. It's in
stock. That's not a bad.
Yeah, it's actually for having a three mode wall like that. It's actually very, very affordable.
Yeah. Well, too, if you're gigging and you don't know what the room's going to be like or something like that, rather than have to bring three different pedals or two different pedals, you bring this and you just make a switch on the side to whatever mode fits the room.
Right.
So, you know, it makes life easy. You don't have to pull a pedal off your board and put another one on. You just take this one and make a switch.
So what else do you have? You have a Banshee? I think we should save the Banshee for last because that's the fun one.
Okay.
I mean, not that they're all not fun, but come on. I mean, how can you not have a little fun with the Banshee?
So we've got the Octaver, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Black
Rose Octaver. This is cool. I've always loved octave pedals, and there's just something cool when you take your, you know, your dry signal and you can blend it with an octave down. It just, to me, it just makes every riff sound cooler. So if you're a riff guy, I don't think it can get cooler. And the tracking of this pedal is really good, too, as you'll hear. Yeah, it's just super fun. It's kind of like cool, like it's kind of evil. I don't know. It's rad. Funky when I'm playing this thing, man.
That's synthesizing a note below, right?
Totally. So it's the octave and your dry signal.
Now, can you? It just goes below, or can you switch to go?
No, it's just below.
Below.
It's only one octave lower.
But you notice too, you can really still hear the guitar tone, and that's one of the things about Rocktron is when you plug your guitar into something. You know, if you spend the money on one of Nick's guitars, you don't want to plug in a bunch of stuff and not have it sound like Nick's guitar when it comes out the amplifier. And that's one of the things that Rocktron always strives to do is keep the signal clean so that it doesn't mess up your expensive, great guitar tone.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And what are the other controls that are on that actual pedal?
All kinds of weird stuff with weird names. You'll love it.
Yeah, there's one that's called Roots, which actually changes the tone quite a bit from thick to thin. And it just sounds like a different place in the EQ spectrum. You're just letting more frequencies get through from the dry signal as opposed to just the octave lower.
It's like a mix.
Right. This one is called the Fragrance. Gnarly. You can have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, and that's where it gets a little funky too. You get a little couple extra notes in there every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
It's like it's got like synthesizer properties, you know.
What were we gonna say, Chris?
That has a lot to do with the tracking actually. So the more you increase the fragrance, the more the tracking's gonna bounce around a little bit.
It's cool though.
Which is why I use that little bit of warble. It's actually really great if you add it to a like a delay and a couple more filters. You get a really wacky sort of synthesizer sound from your guitar.
I wonder what it sounds like with a Banshee. We may have to try that.
Yeah, we have to try that. What's interesting too is, you know, the overtones of your strings, the way it gets the growl. There's a growl to that that I've played other octave boxes before, and it doesn't sound like that. It just synthesizes mainly like a fundamental, but I'm hearing overtones in the lower note.
Totally.
And that I think that's what makes it really. Really work.
It's fun. It's one of those pedals that you plug in and you smile as you get to know it because it's just you can't really get a bad sound out of it.
Yeah. Now, is there a mixer knob on that so you can kind of just have just a slight bit of octave or just go crazy with it?
Less and more. It's called less and more.
Of course.
Yeah. yeah. So you can, I guess, blend the taste.
Hear the growl to it. Yeah. That's what I think. That's really musical. That really works well.
Yes, very, very cool. Well, do you want to take a quick break here,
yes,
Jeff?
Yes, we'll be right back, but let's take a listen to about another spot for Guitar Hummer. Hang on a second. We'll be right back.
Do you want to get the best possible tone from your acoustic instrument? Guitar Hummer is a guitar stand that does more than just rest your guitar. It creates a gentle but continuous vibration that is equivalent to playing your instrument all day, every day. This concentrates years of seasoning into mere weeks, improving tone and sustain. You may not be able to afford a vintage guitar, but you now can achieve vintage sound. But don't take our word for it. Try it for 60 days, and if you don't notice a marked difference, return it for a full refund. Go to GuitarHummer.com for more information or to purchase.
We are back. I had to play something funky since you were getting funky over there. So that's not an octobuck. That's actually the bass. I was trying to use my thumb on that.
Now, for those that have listened to the show before, they will know that I'm kind of a fanboy of Gary Clark Jr. Do you guys make anything that's kind of like an Octavio or just a deep growling fuzz from Rocktown? Kind of like a Gary Clark Jr. sound. I'm out of curiosity.
Now, I don't know Gary Clark's tone well enough. What do you think, Chris?
We have a great fuzz pedal, actually called the Cottonmouth Fuzz. And it, not only can it get some of the Gary Clark sort of bluesy fuzz tones, but it can get just all the way up into the Big Muff territory and just gets, you know, way beyond that spectrum. It's got so many different variances on it. And it actually has diodes in warm up over time. So the eyes start to glow when the diodes warm up more, and that actually changes the pedal over time. So I mean, you can leave the pedal on for, you know, a certain amount of time and play it again, and it'll actually warm up, and that tone will change over time.
That's pretty bad.
It's like seasoning your pedal.
It's really something you really have to sit down and play with it. I mean, it's not like a plug in and play pedal. Because you can get a huge spectrum of tone out of it, and it goes all over the map.
And what was the name of that again? I'm sorry, I think it was cutting out a little bit when you said it.
It's the Cottonmouth Fuzz.
The Cottonmouth Fuzz, okay.
Yeah. But that's the closest thing to a fuzz pedal we have. We have a lot of different overdrive and distortion sounds, but that's our one true fuzz pedal.
Now, are your pedals, is it on your overdrive pedals, is it the same basic circuit as your preamps? Or is it a whole different circuit, different design?
We brought some of that throughout the lines, but we really tried to, you know, tweak everything and make everything a little bit different for just more variety.
Because a lot of
we want to take our own little spin on them.
Right. No, I understand. Because a lot of your preamps, that years ago, there were the Rocktron preamps where they had a pretty nasty sound, which was great. I mean, they really were known to get a good sound, and you didn't have to use a normal distortion box. You would get a more amp type distortion from them.
Yeah, absolutely. That stuff is all carried through, and it's been improved upon. And so, yeah, the engineers have worked hard on that.
Cool. I want to interject one other thing because you had mentioned earlier, Larry had mentioned earlier about the chorus, because I have the pro chorus, but you said there's a new one more.
It's not new. It's at the Intellifex. It had an 8-voice chorus in it.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and
is
now
the Intellifex? Okay.
Now called the Expression. Basically the same unit.
Oh, okay. Because I remember the Intellifex. So
yeah.
The Expression.
You can layer, you know, regeneration, rate, depth, all that stuff can be layered for each individual voice.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And then...
Go ahead.
Actually, if you want it in a pedal form, we have the Dreamstar chorus is like a 2-voice chorus for a pedal form.
Say that again. You're breaking up. It was
Dreamstar. It's a Dreamstar course. It's another. Yep. These lines are in the. Yeah. These pedals are in our boutique line.
Okay.
Quote unquote.
Yeah. So what's the difference between like your boutique, your Reaction, and your classic slash signature? Is there are like some of them handmade, or what's the differences between them?
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I mean, the boutique versions are a little more tweaked, kind of our personal take on what you'd get more creative with, where our Reaction series is really our compact stop series. So we started the classic series and kind of improved upon that with the Reaction series, and then when we wanted to take it even a step further and make it even more personalized and give some really interesting sounds, we took it to the boutique and added some really nice etch graphics to the pedals and just gave it a whole different flavor.
Yeah, actually, I really dig the metal. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
It's actually etched aluminum.
Yes, I dig that kind of look.
This one, the Octave or the Black Rose, I think it's so cool because the LED's in the center of the rose. You know, it's kind of off the beaten path of where you'd see the LED. I think it's pretty rad.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, the graphics on those are nice.
Both of those series are true bypass. So,
nice. Are all the series true bypass, or is it mostly just the boutique?
The boutique and the Reaction.
Most of the pedals specifically the boutique and Reaction are true bypass.
Do you guys make a buffer pedal at all?
We have a true looper, which you could kind of use as a buffer pedal.
Okay.
And we also use that for people that have a non-true bypass pedal that want to make a true bypass.
Mm-hmm.
Or
right.
They can use it to, like some guys want their wah at a specific setting when they come into it and they don't want to kick it in first.
Mm-hmm.
So they can use the true looper as a on-off switch for their wah pedal.
How many pedals can you hook up through the true looper?
Well, it's just basically a little junction box. So as many Y chords as you want to plug in there, as long as you wanted it all do at the same time.
What about the Mega Booster? Is that a clean boost?
Yeah.
So that would be your buffer. You could use that as a buffer, right?
Yeah, you could use that as a signal buffer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you made some. I know I was reading something about a actual line, that boosted the line level or the signal level. But that
there's one in each series.
Oh, okay. And they're clean. There's no.
Yeah.
It's not a distortion or overdrive.
No. Yep.
Just adding some gain.
All right, so I think we've waited long enough. It's time to break out the Banshee. So first of all, tell us what's unique about the Banshee compared to the standard talk boxes that were used back in the 60s and 70s.
This has a built-in driver.
Mm-hmm.
The one that the old day, old school ones, you had to basically run a separate rig to have your talk box because it had no way to make some sort of amplification. The problem with that was, at times, it would mismatch the impedance between the transformer and the speaker, and you'd blow up the transformer and your amplifier.
Which is not a cheap replacement.
No, and it was a pain in the butt to have to bring along two amplifiers. So this way, by having a 5-watt driver in the Banshee, it just goes right in line with the rest of your effects. And we have been using these acoustic guitar players, electronic drummers, DJs. It's expanded way beyond the guitar player market. We've sold over 125,000 Banshees.
Wow.
And
yeah.
When you think, it's almost like distortion pedal, wah pedal, talk box. It's kind of, it's up in the top three or four things guys have now as part of their rig.
Well, let me get this straight. It allows you, with your loop in there, I can actually process that sound, right?
You can put a delay in there or a chorus, a reverb.
So you could never do that. It was always dependent on the microphone, and you that was basically all you could do with it. It was whatever it was.
Right.
That to me is powerful because the only way you could do that otherwise is process it in a studio after in post.
Exactly.
So.
Well, Nick, show us a little bit of that Banshee.
Let's do it. Wow.
Ladies, send your fan letter, nickperry.com.
Yeah, there you go. Let's try something, if it's okay.
Sure.
Let's try the octave box.
Sure.
And get a nice good growl to it, and then try that with the top box.
This is going to be rad.
Okay, this sounds good.
Are you ready to mix it, just in case, Jeff?
That is cool.
That it's the Barry White of talk boxes. Right?
There you go. There you go. Just
it's just a fun pedal. I got to tell everyone who's listening at home. I mean, I took this thing out on Saturday and I got lost in it. I mean, just like 3 hours went by because it's just so much fun. I mean, it's an interactive thing. It's not just playing guitar. You're actually becoming, I don't know. It's like a, I don't know. You're using a different sense, you know, to actually play the instrument because it's not just the hands and the fingers. You're using your mouth, you're using your brain to coordinate between the things. It's just a lot of fun. I mean, obviously the tones are amazing, but on top of that, it's just fun. You can't not have a good time playing a talk box.
Now, can you actually mix your talk box with your amp sound?
That is the cool thing, is that, again, on the old ones, and I had an old one, and that was the bummer, is that when you stepped on it, your signal from your amp
went
gone. Mm-hmm. So whoever was mixing front of house had better been doing a good job, because there's going to be a jump in the, you know, the sound. With this, you can actually tell it to leave the amp going, which is super cool.
Can we try it? I don't know if it'll work or not. Jeff, are you able to mix them?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, so this is talk box and the amp.
A lot of the old, I know guys, friends of mine made their own talk boxes, and it basically is like a speaker selector to a driver.
Yeah.
And you were using the same amp, and back then, like one of my friends, he had a Marshall 100 watt fully cranked, and he had a JBL driver, which was cool, but it took a lot, it was loud, and it used to rattle his fillings to play. But you switch to the other speaker or that driver, and that was it. So that's kind of interesting, because you can do a lot of, I mean, it's, I mixed it a little bit, was the amp, you still got the character of the squawk box with the amp.
Right.
Now I'm using microphones, but if you heard this live, it's much more pronounced. Yeah. It's actually, you're hearing it more.
Yeah. I really liked the mixed sound there. That was very cool.
Yeah. And then if he was like, even with the octave, you get that rich low growl, plus you get the talking on the,
yeah, you could, you add know, anything else you wanted to it. So you know, with the Banshee 2, the possibilities are endless as far as what kind of tone you could get out of that thing. So right.
Yeah, no, it's very musical, and it both of those.
And the other thing which we didn't mention is the Banshee actually has a gain knob on it too. So
you can actually plug this into a 4x12 cabinet and drive a 4x12 cabinet with the Banshee.
Really? Wow. What's its ohmage, out of curiosity?
Chris?
I think it says on the side. No, it doesn't say on the side.
Chris, do you happen to know?
Oh, I think we lost Chris.
Actually, I don't know off the top of my head. No, I was just trying to think about it, and I don't know what the ohmage is off the top of my head.
I'll see if I can find it real quick.
But it's cool, because the amp in here is set pretty, you know, mild. But you can, you know, turn the Banshee, the gain up on the Banshee, and then when you kick that in, you're getting all that added gain, you know, for leads or whatever you're doing, which is cool. Because again, I mean, this thing has, you know, just so much more flexibility than you'll.
So you
ever
can
did.
Get a lot of gain sustained from that
pedal
itself without having to put in like a fuzz.
Yeah, there's a tone knob, a gain knob, and an output knob on
mm-hmm. on the Banshee, which is rad.
So for those of you who are wondering,
8 ohms.
It is, I know, I was going to say, it's the Fender Classic 8 ohms.
And yeah. And is that pretty tolerant if you know, I know like with tube amps, you can go one or above or one below. Is that, are you in any danger of damaging the unit if you use like a 4 ohm cabinet or a 16?
I don't think it's enough power to worry about it.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's only 5 watts.
It's only 5 watts, so it can't do too much damage, I wouldn't think.
That's actually, that's good power. I mean, that's as much as my Class 5.
Right.
I mean, my Marshall Class 5 is... It's the same wattage. That is a lot. That is a lot.
Well, so Larry and Chris, what's new coming up from Rocktron and GHS? It sounds like obviously you're talking about you guys are going to be celebrating 50th anniversary for GHS.
Yep.
What should people be expecting?
Chris has got all
expecting?
That down. He's been working on it for 3 months already.
Wow. That's cool.
Well, I mean, there's we can't talk about everything right now. We've got some things that are a little bit secretive, but... We have been working on a couple things for GHS strings as well as extending our multi-string line. So we've really looked into extending the 7 and 8 string guitar models for the boomers.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And venturing into those for as those become more popular. We've just finished up working on a brand new set of ukulele strings, actually, which is a fluorocarbon set. So we're really excited to get those out on the market. We just actually went to a Ute convention and demoed those out a bunch, so we got some really great feedback. We have a Bajo Sexto and Bajo Quinto strings that are doing really well. And as far as Rocktron, we have actually quite a few things in the pipeline that we're just trying to wrap up and get ready for the hopefully by NAMM to have everything all set to go, including a Micro Hush, which is a much smaller version of the Hush pedal.
Oh,
it'll be great
cool.
to add to boards for guys that have, you know, either not enough room on their pedal board or don't want to bring out a pedal board, and they have one little small pedal that they can just, you know, set up on top of the amp or clean everything up. So, and then as well as a few new preamps that we're quietly working away on. So, yeah, it's a ton of new things, and I wish I could tell you more information about some of the Rocktron stuff, but... Until I get everything finalized, I don't want to make any spoilers.
What other question for you about the Hush? Most of the Hush pedals that I've ever seen were always like a guitar level. Do you make like a rack mount that's line level?
Yeah.
You do? Oh, you do? Okay.
It's the Hush Ultra.
Hush Ultra. Okay.
Right, Larry?
Yep.
Yeah. Which offers both quarter inch and XLR jacks on the back, so you use studio use as well as guitar use, or any instrument use, should I say.
So you can switch it negative 10 to plus 4?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's cool. That is really cool. But, that's your Hush thing. That's a great thing.
Jeff, if you want to purchase that, it's $329 at Sweetwater.
I'm going to have to take a look at that.
We also had a brand new tuner come out, a rack-mounted tuner called the VersaTune, which is it turned out really great, especially the other companies have discontinued their rack tuners. We're happy to have that one ready to go. And we have our power tap, which is our on-tap adapter in a power brick form.
Oh, wow.
So it can pretty much power everything and anything, as well as working on a few more power things down the line here for the coming year.
So your rack tuner has a big display, so you can see it from far away.
Yep, yeah. You can see it across the stage. Yeah. Nice light up display, and it's got a bunch of presets on it for so many instruments, more than I can name right.
So I have to ask
different tunings and everything. It's great.
So I have to ask for my father. Does it have pedal steel tunings in it?
It does.
No way.
It actually does.
Very
wow.
cool.
Wow.
Okay.
That's so yep. cool.
That's interesting. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, so maybe, Larry, you want to say how people can find more about GHS and Rocktron, and then Nick, tell us how they can find out more about you. So go ahead, Larry.
Well, it's obvious. GHSstrings.com and Rocktron.com are going to have every product, history, information, places where you can go buy the products, pretty much everything you need. And we've just finished the new Rocktron website, and it's now very mobile friendly. So we're real proud of
it. Yeah,
that.
It's I recommend you guys check it out. It's really cool. Plenty of info there. Also, too, their Twitter is at RockTronUSA. Your Facebook is RockTron, and I think your Twitter for GHS is GHS Strings.
Yep, at GHS Strings on Twitter and Instagram. And then Facebook is GHS Strings as well.
Okay. And then, Nick, how do people find out more about your custom guitars, apparel, and custom
accessories? PerryInkGuitars.com. Custom guitars, cabinets, pickups. Really cool collab between Perry Ink and Seymour Duncan. Pick guards, you know, anything that you could want guitar-related, and merchandise. And also NickPerryMusic.com has all the stuff on the music side of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on all the social stuff, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, all that stuff, Nick Perry.
So that's PerryInkGuitars.com and PerryInk.com.
Yeah, and let me specify. So it's PerryInk.
Right,
like
two eyes.
Tattoo ink. And, yeah.
And your Twitter?
At Nick Perry.
Oh, cool.
So before we go out, Nick, you want to play something just to take us out? We normally have an outro music, but you want to play something, just show off? A little bit using one of the pedals. Am I putting you a little bit on the spot?
No, it's cool.
Okay.
I'm just improv and jamming anyway, man.
Yeah. So before we do that, I just would definitely want to thank our sponsors, Guitar Hummer, guitarhummer.com, and Sweetwater. Next week is John 5, so do not miss that show. I will unfortunately miss the show because I will be in Babyland. But
well, maybe you might be in the chat room, I would hope.
I don't know. I might harass you a little bit, but I won't.
Knowing him, he'll prank call. So.
All right. Well, Nick, show us what you got.
Rock and roll.